Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car following Purdue's season opening 90-57 win over Fairfield in Mackey Arena. This is our Golden Black Radio Express, I guess we'll call it like a monologue, following the Purdue basketball game. And before we can move on, I obviously have to do the most important part of this, and that's to thank our sponsors. That would be Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So with the most important part of this podcast out of the way, I will now obviously give you a few thoughts on the 90-57 Purdue win over Fairfield to open the 2018-2019 season. As you know, this will be very informal. And I actually just got through this, and my tape recorder ran out of battery right at the end. And we're off to a pretty disappointing start to the season here, because that podcast that just got lost was really, really good, I must say. Now, in all seriousness, we'll try to replicate the exemplary quality of the podcast that never was. And we'll start off by talking about kind of what we may or may not have found out about Purdue in game one of the season. And the answer to that question is probably not a whole lot. It's real early in the season. It's going to be a process for Purdue to grow into kind of some new identities, introduce some new players, incorporate some new elements into their style of play, which I think is going to be very different at both ends of the floor, and to just kind of accrue experience playing together. You know, Purdue's not an experienced team across the board, a particularly experienced team, I should say. They have a couple guys who played a lot, but not across the board. But on top of that, this is a group that maybe hasn't played a whole lot together either, and that matters just as much as how much you've played, period. And obviously Carson Edwards, Nojel Eastern, Matt Harms, Ryan Klein, Grady Eifert, that core right there has played together, but they've never played together as a starting five, as that frontline unit that, you know, Purdue's going to roll out there and put out there for 20, 25, 30 minutes a game. Purdue's going to have to grow into this. I think that has to be everyone's reasonable expectation. I think that's just inevitable. This is going to be a process for Purdue, and it started tonight. It didn't end tonight, that's for certain. Not that anybody would ever suggest that it did end tonight, but in terms of what we may or may not have learned about Purdue tonight, probably, as I said, not a whole lot. I think there are some known commodities on this team from a personnel perspective, obviously Carson Edwards being one. We know he's pretty good, but we know he's in a very different role, and I know that adds a little bit of element of uncertainty to that. And after a couple of up and down exhibition performances, he looked just fine in his new role tonight. It's not that he scored 30 points. That's obviously nice and impressive and all that, but I thought he made good decisions. He took good shots. I thought he made people around him better. He coexisted with his very new supporting cast well. He picked his spots okay. As I said, didn't take too many bad shots. You kind of wonder if a player in that situation, if it's going to take him some time to not naturally think he has to do more than, you know, he's capable of, or do more than any one player should be asked to do. And he certainly didn't look like that tonight. He looked like the Carson Edwards from last season, when, you know, Carson Edwards, obviously, as I said to somebody before, I think I was on somebody else's podcast, but he did a lot of heavy lifting last season for Purdue, but he didn't have to do all the heavy lifting. He had a great team around him, a team that would have been really good, you know, even without him, as good as he was. I think that was a really good team, regardless of what kind of season Carson Edwards had last year. But it also gave him a certain, you know, measure of support, where when he didn't necessarily play his best game, you know, Purdue was still okay, more often than not. And now, when Carson Edwards doesn't play well, Purdue's going to lose a good deal of the time. I mean, that's just simply its reality. He affects everything that happens this season for Purdue, for better and worse. And, you know, it's likely to be far more better than it is worse, but there will be worse nonetheless, because not every player is perfect, and he won't be perfect this season. There will be times where he doesn't play as well as he'd like to play, and, you know, it is going to affect the product on the floor for Purdue, because he's that important. He's that directly linked to everything about this Purdue basketball team. That doesn't mean he has to change the way he approaches the game necessarily. But when everything changes around you, things inevitably change for you. And that's sort of the situation Carson Edwards is in here. But game one's in the books, and he looked fine in that kind of revised role, or however you want to term that. In terms of players around him, we'll probably largely talk about personnel here more than anything, because it's probably too early to make any sweeping generalizations or anything like that, or impressions about style of play or anything larger than simply here's how this guy played, here's how that guy played. I think in terms of known commodities for this team, I think it's very obvious, very apparent, if you've watched Purdue at all in any platform thus far, that Ryan Klein's going to have a really good season. I think it is early. The sample size is small, but I think he is playing at a I mentioned in my rap video earlier that he is playing at a Dakota Mathias as an upperclassman level right now for Purdue. And is it sustainable? You know, you don't necessarily know. See why not. Again, this isn't improvement as much as it is probably opportunity. He's just in a role now where he has to perform for Purdue, and that empowers him to do a lot of what he's doing now. So this isn't Ryan Klein making an improvement from one year to the next, and then you wonder, is this sustainable? Is this going to exist when the competition gets better? This might just be what Ryan Klein is, and that's going to translate no matter who Purdue plays against, if that makes any sense. Sometimes there are flukes to start seasons. Guys start hot or they start cold. Ryan Klein last year started cold, and now he started hot. So that was a fluke last year, because I think he was a better player than he showed early in the year, and I think this is probably just what Ryan Klein is now, and that goes a long way, I think, toward making Purdue look like a pretty good team, maybe more so than if Ryan Klein were still the guy. You wondered how he was going to respond to this expanded role for Purdue. So far, so good with him. I think Matt Harms is going to be more of a player offensively than people think. I think Purdue went to great lengths tonight to make sure that they got him involved in the post. By my unofficial count, this is off the top of my head, I'll watch the video tomorrow to detail this further, but I believe they got him 3 post touches in deep post position. He scored on all 3 of them and drew 2 fouls separately. That's unofficial, but it is a reflection of Purdue making an effort to make sure that they're still involving the back-to-the-basket game around the rim. It is going to be very different from Isaac Haas. Isaac Haas could just push his way down to the rim, get it as close as possible, catch the ball, turn and score. Matt Harms is going to try to catch the ball, turn and score, but the plowing his way to the rim is going to be a little bit different. Purdue's going to have to move him around, use him in kind of screen and roll action to get him into the position he wants before the defender gets there. It's going to be a very different dynamics for them offensively. It's really going to bring to the forefront kind of offensive execution to get them the shots that they can rely before on simple physical brawn to generate for them. And that's really going to bring to the, as I said, that's going to bring to the forefront this season offensive execution as a whole. And that's where your experience you worry about, because Purdue doesn't have experience playing together. And, you know, sometimes the way you run your offense suffers when you have inexperienced guys out there. But that's why Grady Eifert, too, in large part, is out there. It's because Matt Painter trusts him, trusts his experience level. And I think his play thus far this season in games that counted, albeit the one, and games that didn't count, the 2 that came prior to tonight, I think he's showing to be more than just the experienced guy you can trust to be in the right place at the right time. I think he's shooting the ball at a very high level right now. That's not exactly what he's been known for in his career, but if you took last year's roster and ranked it 1 through, you know, 10, whatever it might be in terms of who do you want shooting the ball from 3, where would Grady Eifert have been on that list? Doesn't mean he can't shoot. It just means you'd rather have Vince Edwards shooting, or Dakota Mathias shooting, or P.J. Thompson shooting, or Carson Edwards shooting. It's just that's where you had to get your shots last year. Now there's an opportunity for him. I talked about empowerment earlier with Ryan Klein. Grady Eifert is now in a role where he can step out of the roles he's played before a little bit and maybe do a little bit more. And you're seeing a guy who's making open threes. You're seeing a guy who's driving off of threes that aren't open, kind of getting in the lane, making good decisions, making good passes, and just being a valuable offensive player. And that's on top of what he gives you at his baseline, which is a really rugged rebounder, a really high-effort, high-energy guy, and a good leader. And I think you're seeing a guy who's showing why he's out there. You know, he's going to be held to a high standard by fans who always kind of lament, it's human nature to lament why a walk-on's out there and there isn't somebody more talented or more athletic out there to take his spot. He's just going to probably be held to that standard in the court of public opinion, but I think he is backed up, you know, kind of the fact that he's out there for a reason. That's not just him being out there by default. I think he's really finding ways to contribute to Purdue in a pretty important way, and there's no reason to think that won't continue, be sustainable all year. That being said, there will be difficult matchups for him. There always have been, there always will be, and that won't change this season. But for the time being, he's out there for a reason, and he's showing kind of exactly what that reason is, and doing a little bit more than people are used to seeing from him. So I think he's probably a known commodity. Upside, obviously limited, but I think he is a known commodity who's going to help Purdue this season. And he's helped Purdue win games before, and I think he's going to, you know, provide some real value for them in a greatly expanded role. That's quite a bit I've talked about tonight. I'm confused right now as to what I said in the first podcast that never was and what I said now. So if I repeat myself here, I apologize, but I do want to mention Eric Hunter. I thought, and I said it on a different platform, that I don't think you could have scripted within reason a better debut for Eric Hunter. I think this is a guy who Purdue needs good minutes from all year long. They're going to count on him, not just because they think he's ready to be counted on, but because they need him. Their backcourt situation is such that Nojel Eastern and Carson Edwards are your ball handlers, and Eric Hunter, and you need more than two guys to do it. Eric Hunter is going to have to play point guard for Purdue. He's going to have to play off the ball for Purdue, and by every account, he's ready to help them in those roles. But he himself, when we talked to him, when the media talked to him on Monday about playing his first college game, he seemed nervous. He said he was nervous about this. He figured it would get out of his system pretty quick, but he was nervous nonetheless. And he didn't look nervous at all on Tuesday night. He looked aggressive. He looked quick. He looked decisive. He looked confident. He looked comfortable. All of the positive things I can think of, he looked those things. And if that's sustainable for him over the course of the entire season, now obviously it's not going to be a straight line. It never is for freshmen. There's going to be ups and downs, but if he can give them something close to what he gave them Tuesday night against better teams, as the season moves forward, I think Purdue's a much, much, much better team for that than it would be otherwise. So that was kind of the last guy I wanted to mention. As I said before, we'll do one of these after every Purdue basketball game. It'll be more coherent after some than it is others. Hopefully this was coherent. Don't know a whole lot about Purdue yet, but that's kind of were some of my impressions from tonight. So with all that being said, I want to thank our sponsors again. Those sponsors being Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters team, Remax Ability Plus. So we certainly appreciate their support. We appreciate you reading, listening, watching, whatever it is that you do with our many, many platforms. We certainly appreciate it. In this case, I appreciate you listening. I hope this is worthwhile for you, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your, I guess it's early Wednesday morning now. So good morning, everyone.